When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It is a Takes on Takes Friday here on the Prospects and Props Podcast. Chris Huber, Jamie Eisner here with you once again. You guys know the drill. You provide the takes. We provide the reactions. And seemingly enough, I thought we had left an area of the takes world, and we're diving right back in. It's technically our first football take. So, Jamie, I feel like we have to start there, and then we can mix in the food takes. Somehow, I thought we'd settled it last week. I thought we settled it the last time we did this, but the Mike Tomlin versus Mike McCarthy thing is not over. It spawned like 16 takes this morning for us here on the show. So I will start with the take that inspired it all today. It was from Carl. Take: if Mike McCarthy is criticized for only winning one ring with Aaron Rodgers, then Mike Tomlin should be criticized for only winning one with Big Ben. The offensive and defensive talent Tomlin had on those rosters, Tomlin should have more than one ring.
Okay, so there's a few different things to break down.
There's a lot wrong with this take.
In there.
There's a lot wrong with this take.
I have a few thoughts. My first thought right away, and I'll reiterate what I said when we talked about this last week. I think Mike McCarthy takes too much criticism. So I think if using him as the linchpin for this conversation is, again, more so about the hate's gone too far in Mike McCarthy than anything else. Two, the winning only one Super Bowl thing. I think if obviously that's a fact. He only had one. I do think, and actually the other one that he lost was to Aaron Rodgers, right? I think the other Super Bowl he went to was to Aaron Rodgers, funny, and McCarthy, funny enough.
So Mike Tomlin been to more Super Bowls than Mike McCarthy, by the way.
Yes, but it has not beaten Mike McCarthy in a Super Bowl.
It's true. Mike McCarthy does have that going for him. That makes you think. It's a good point. Thank you.
Here's my argument that I feel like it's not apples to apples. It's like apples to pomegranates. Like something that kind of looks like an apple but isn't really an apple and is like really a completely different fruit.
I know, but why? Okay. I'm going to use one. It's way too early.
Wow, it's a really early.
We're 2 minutes into the show. It's takes on takes. It feels like egregious, but I'm going to use one. Okay. You could have picked any fruit. You could have picked a pear. Sure. I think a pear would have been more apropos here, but you went with pomegranate.
Yeah, because it's like the same part of the color wheel as a red apple. Because Chris, when you think of walk with me on this, Chris.
Sure.
When you think of
even
an apple,
there are a lot of apples.
There's Fuji apples. There's Granny Smith apples.
Yeah.
There's sweet red apples.
Yeah.
There's Gala apples.
Sure.
There's crab apples.
You didn't mention Cosmic Crisp apples. Those are great.
That's alliteration too. So you got all these apples.
Yes.
But in your mind's eye,
yeah,
when I say apple, you think of a red apple.
So you say that, but I don't. I think of a green apple.
You really?
I do. I think of a green apple. Because most of the apples that are in my house most of the time are of the green variety, yes.
Oh, so you're a Granny Smith guy.
I am, you're a Granny Smith kind of guy. Yeah.
You're Granny Smith house.
So, and that's
why, with good Granny Smith
and
apple,
that's why the pear thing was kind of the, and then you went pomegranate.
Well,
and then
so if in my mind's eye, my default apple setting was green, then yes, I would have gone with sure, a pear.
But could you have gone like apples to tomatoes? Like then I would have understood what you were doing there. Pomegranate just felt so out of
but left. But tomatoes are so misunderstood because you got the whole fruit versus vegetable conversation where they're technically a fruit, but they're not treated like a fruit. They're like the red-skinned stepchild of fruit.
Okay.
Because it's got skin.
You know, I understand. And tomatoes are red. I understand what you were going
with. Not the Washington football team of old, but like this one. And so for me, I went with pomegranate. There's no debate about pomegranate's legitimacy among the fruit contingency.
I would agree.
There's no controversy. There's no debate. There's no trivia. So that's where I went with that.
Okay.
But why I think this is slightly different is because as good as Ben Roethlisberger was, he's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. I have a heart for the vast, vast majority of his career. He was the, at best, third best quarterback in his conference.
He was always behind Tom and Peyton.
Yes.
I think I view him on a similar level to Phillip Rivers.
Sure. But so even if you view him above him. But clearly, Brady and Peyton dominated the AFC for the majority of Ben Roethlisberger's run. Where in the NFC, I think the big argument was just who was Aaron Rodgers' top competitors for a lot of the years in his own conference? Mm-hmm. Who was going to be, as my cat sneezed up a storm in the corner, who was the biggest hindrance for him getting to more Super Bowls? And I think that's why it's a little bit different. Like both teams had strong rosters. Both teams had Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But I would argue that it was much tougher for the Steelers to come out of the AFC many of these years than it was Aaron Rodgers to come out of the NFC on just a flat surface there. But as I said from the very beginning of this take, before we got into fruits and pomegranates and pears and apples and tomatoes, was that, again, I still think Mike McCarthy takes too much heat. He is a better coach than he gets credit for, which is why he gets thrown into these conversations.
I also think we're just putting way too much heat on Mike Tomlin. The guy's never had a losing record as a head coach in the National Football League. Like, when are we going to stop? When are we going to stop trying to diminish that legacy?
I think the other point of this too, Chris, is that because what he's doing is fairly unprecedented in the modern, it's unprecedented in the modern era, and even fairly unprecedented in general. I think there is a mix up in people's mind, the difference between 3 or 4 or even 5 years of sustained success and 15.
Right, it's 15. It's 15 years. Like it doesn't. Okay, I'm gonna say something. It's gonna be outlandish. You might use a timeout. I'm gonna say it. But other than the New England Patriots, Mike Tomlin has had the second best tenure of a head coach that we've seen since 2000. Like the run is incredible. The run is incredible of that level of sustained success. Now they do not have the Super Bowls that Tom Brady and the Patriots have. But when you are constantly above 500 and constantly in the mix, he's thinking about using a timeout or he's using one. Okay,
I'm going to use one. Andy Reid. 10 conference championship games. 4 Super Bowls.
I know, but you're
2 wins.
You're talking 2 different teams. I'm talking in one place. We don't see this level of sustained success in one place. Andy Reid took the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl, and they still ran him out of town.
They ran him out of town. 5 conference championship games.
And they ran him out of town. Mike Tomlin has been in Pittsburgh for 15-plus years and has never had a losing season and has won a Super Bowl. Other than Belichick, no one has done that.
Yeah. And Belichick had a losing season twice.
I'm sorry. You can say that they should have won more with Big Ben. Again, we can argue the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, those teams might have been a little bit better. But I don't think you can argue that the straw that stirs the drink in Pittsburgh over the last decade plus has been what Mike Tomlin's been able to do as a coach.
Well, can't both things be true? Can't you say he probably should have won more than one Super Bowl, but that doesn't mean he's a bad coach? Like, I don't know why that has to be held against him.
But the spirit of the takes from last week and the spirit of the take this week is that more criticism needs to be pushed onto Mike Tomlin. And I just fundamentally disagree with that.
Yeah, I disagree as well. Mike Tomlin is an elite coach. Mike Tomlin's going to the Hall of Fame when
Mike
he retires.
Tomlin is a top 5 coach in the National Football League right now, no questions asked.
Yeah, I don't think I'd say that shouldn't be a debate, but what are we doing?
Right.
Yes. I think there's a little bit of success fatigue that happens. Where it's, again, I understand that it's at the end of the day you want to win Super Bowls, but
is it success fatigue? Because they won't The critics of Mike Tomlin, and I'm not saying Carl is a critic of Mike Tomlin, but in the overall context of this conversation, the success fatigue is they're not giving him the credit where the credit is deserved.
No, it's spoiledness. It's spoiledness.
But they won't mention the 15 years of not having a losing record. They'll only point to the, well, you only won one Super Bowl. Well, then you don't have success fatigue.
That's what I mean by success fatigue. It's like, well, we've been so good, like it doesn't count anymore. It's like it's.
I would trade my entire Jets fandom for what the Pittsburgh Steelers have had under Mike Tomlin. In a heartbeat, I would trade for what they have.
And again, I will also say that, like, in much the same way where Michael Jordan prevented a lot of good teams from having bigger runs, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning did the same thing in the AFC. And you have guys like Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. I think the Baltimore Ravens for runs there. I know they got one with Flacco, but like the Baltimore Ravens were on a run there for a bit where they didn't have sustained success, you know, in terms of winning and getting to Super Bowls because of the teams they faced in the AFC. So I think some of this is too of like those guys dominating so much and winning what a combined 7 Super Bowls while in the AFC.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So I think 5 were in the AFC, right? Or is it, and then 6 was in Tampa? Right, not, or was it was said 7 in Tampa? I am totally lost track of how many Super Bowls he's won. 7 was in Tampa.
So 6.
Okay, so
he got 1.
8.
Yeah, 6.
So that means in the AFC, Brady and Manning won. And then if you're including Roethlisberger for one of them, because they're talking about Tomlin, they've won in that stretch that Tomlin's been coaching. They've won,
seven?
And then 9 in total in the AFC?
Yeah, 7 for Brady, 6 with New England, and then the 1 with Tampa.
So takes up a lot of those opportunities. How many Super Bowl appearances has it? And that doesn't even count the Super Bowl appearances that New England made and didn't win.
Yeah,
and Denver made and didn't win.
Yeah, 2 that they lost.
So like, I get it. It's just those two. And again, I understand that you wish that it was better than that, but I guarantee, but if you take that team, put them in the NFC, we're having a different conversation, at least the Super Bowl appearances. We'll see how they would have done against Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But it, you know what I mean? It's something that needs to at least be considered.
We have two follow-up takes to this take. Okay. Our resident Steelers expert, Sam Teets, is providing us with both of these. Take Mike Tomlin, greater than signed John Harbaugh, greater than signed Pete Carroll, greater than signed Mike McCarthy from a career perspective. So those four coaches, you got to put them in.
Got to put them in order?
Got to put them in order in terms of their career.
I'd go Tomlin, Harbaugh, McCarthy, Carroll.
So you have the same top two as Sam does, and then you're flipping McCarthy and Carroll.
Yeah. It's close, but
I think Tomlin and Harbaugh are 1-2. I feel another
confident
person
about that.
In the bucket of gets way too over-criticized. Like,
yes.
Way too over-criticized.
Yes.
Am I going to punish Pete Carroll for not running the football in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots? I kind of want to from a career perspective.
Well, I also want to consider what he did prior to Seattle, too.
I'm with you.
It's close. Like, if you want to put him in front of McCarthy, I wouldn't fight you on it. I don't feel strongly about 3-4 in that order.
I'd agree with the order that you have. And then a bonus take from Sam. There are 6 active head coaches. 6 active head coaches will be enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame after they retire. Now, Sam provides his list.
We talked about this in a staff meeting a year ago. Almost a year ago to the day.
Yeah, this is the fun thing where Jamie, I don't think, knows the answers, so he could try to guess the list if he wants.
I do want to try to guess the list.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that Belichick and Tomlin are the easy givens at the top there.
Belichick and Tomlin are 2 of the 6, yes. There's another easy given that I think you kind of overlooked.
Reed?
Yes, that would be the 3rd easy. So Belichick, Andy Reid, and Mike Tomlin, you're 50% of the way there, 3-for-3 so far.
Okay. I would assume from that list, he put John Harbaugh on there.
John Harbaugh on the list. Yes. That would be 4-for-4 for Jamie.
Okay. Then he put Sean Payton.
He did put Sean Payton on there. That is 5-for-5.
I almost forgot because you said active. I almost overlooked him for a second there.
5-for-5 there for Jamie.
All right. So now I got to guess 6.
Yep.
Well, we know it's not Mike McCarthy because he's behind another coach there.
Yes.
So he's behind another coach on the list. So the question is, did he put Pete Carroll? Did he put somebody else on this list at number 6? Jonathan Gannon. No, I'm just kidding. Just trying to think of, am I forgetting somebody obvious?
Well, I don't know.
Don't nod or anything. Okay. I'm just going to throw some names out there that will go to the finals for the last
Okay, sure.
I think in the conversation.
It's like Carroll. It's like American Idol. Okay.
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
All right.
I do wonder if he might consider Doug Peterson.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw that name out there. Let's see.
Super Bowl winning coach, Doug Peterson.
Yep. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll put that in the finals.
We've got four names now in the finals. It's a big final.
Usually, final.
Usually in these game shows, it's like three people in the final.
Trying to see if there's anybody else that I would put in that category. So I'm trying to make sure I'm not missing an obvious.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, now tell me this, Chris. Is one of the names I mentioned to you the sixth name?
Yes.
Okay, so good. I'm not going to even think about this anymore. I'm trying to think about Sam's philosophy.
I can't wait for this, because once you say this, the entire show is just going to – the car is going to turn this way.
Okay, so he picked Sean McVay.
Yeah, he picked Sean McVay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's all the hint I needed to go. Yeah. I'm not there yet. I think he's on the path.
2023 is not going to help him. I'll tell you that much.
Here's what I'll say with this. Would you put Justin Jefferson in the Hall of Fame if he got hit by a bus tomorrow?
I don't think they are equal comparisons. I see what you're doing here, but I do not think they're equal comparisons.
And why not?
Because.
And because that's what I'm saying here with, like, they're both on the path where if they continue along, not necessarily exactly what they've been doing, but close.
Sure.
They're both on the path to go to the Hall of Fame. But right now, today, I'm not putting them in the Hall of Fame.
But.
I think all those other coaches we mentioned have a resume that if they retired right this second, they have a good enough resume to go in the Hall of Fame right now. I don't – as good as Sean McVay has been, I don't think he's been good enough in this short window to only have this window to be a Hall of Famer.
And you know, I have been the – I was the guy who brought Sean McVay's name up when we had this conversation as a staff. And I was on an island, lonesome. We got a big staff.
Yeah, we had a 90-minute rant about
We have a big staff. We got a lot of people throwing out names. Nobody wanted to come over here and stand on this side of the equation and defend Sean McVay with me. I had to do it by myself. So I just want to look up what he's done. So, all right, Jamie, here we go. 2017, his first year as a head coach, 11-5, playoff appearance. 13-3 the following year, Super Bowl loss to the Patriots. 9-7 the year after that, 10-6 playoff loss to the Packers, 12-5 in the Super Bowl, and then last year we know what they did at 5-12. So, five straight winning seasons to start his career. Two Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl win.
He's on the path.
I see four head coaches.
That to me is not enough.
I see four head coaches that are currently in the game right now that are directly a result of working with Sean McVay. So, his coaching tree is pretty good.
Yeah.
So, that matters. Somebody's going to campaign for that in the room.
Sure. I'm sure they will. But again, let's talk in 5 more years.
I think the resume for McVay is better than the resume for Justin Jefferson. And so that's the hang up that I have, is that if Justin Jefferson retired right now, I think McVay's got a better – if they both retired right now, I think
McVay has a better resume. Like 5 years of playing in the NFL is closer to the end than 5 years of coaching in the NFL.
Right. And so for McVay, he's got two Super Bowl appearances. Justin Jefferson doesn't have that. Now –
the Hall of Fame voters are not going to look at Super Bowl appearances for a receiver.
Sure, but
like they would for a coach or a quarterback.
Right.
But yeah. Again, I'm not trying to downplay what Sean McVay has done. I'm just saying that he is clearly on the path to being a Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's there yet.
Sam didn't mention Pete Carroll. Do you think that's an oversight? I agree with Belichick. I agree with Reed. I agree with Tomlin. I agree with Peyton. I can get there with Harbaugh. I'm a Harbaugh fan. I can get there. I think it's going to take him a while, though.
I don't think Harbaugh gets in.
Of this group, Harbaugh's the guy that probably misses out. But I'm looking up Pete Carroll statistics. That's why you can hear me frantically typing away. I'm producing the show.
I mean, he's won.
I mean, just as a coach. I mean, and I'm sorry, but like, he had 2 years as the Patriots head coach and made the playoffs both of those years. Didn't have a losing record there. Is a one-time Super Bowl champion Seattle. Had how many winning seasons? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's got three losing seasons in Seattle. 2021, 2010, and 2011.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, after the first 2 years. Yeah,
so he's got three. He's got three losing seasons in his career. He's got 161 career wins as a coach. He is a – let's take a peek here. He is a He's a coach of the year. He got one coach of the year award. I'm just looking at some like accolades.
Coach of the year award, Super Bowl, two-time NFC champion. He's on the line for me. Like, I think he and Harbaugh are both guys that I would put on the line of like,
now if this
I
was,
could
now if this
go
was just
either
a, if this
way.
Was just a football Hall of Fame, not the pro football Hall of Fame, the college accolades just move
oh, well, sure.
Right into
sure.
the Hall of Fame.
I'm not considering the USC.
No, and you're right. and it's not because it's the pro football him. I'm just saying that it makes this a slam dunk, no doubt, if you also include what he did in college, right? That's
yeah. I think both him and Harbaugh are on the line for me. Of I would not be upset if they made it. I would not be upset if they missed it. I think they're right on that cusp for me.
All right, we're gonna sneak in a couple food takes here.
Okay.
So the original take from Alex, pizza rolls are an Americanized version of true Italian ravioli. And then Janelle came over the top and said, pizza rolls are Americanized bite-sized versions of a true Italian calzone. And then we have a third food take that I'm not going to share yet. I just want to tackle this pizza rolls conversation first.
Well, I mean, I think pizza rolls are closer to being a calzone than they are to being a ravioli.
What a terrible take from you. They are closer to being a ravioli than they are a calzone.
Really? Because
we have fried ravioli, and guess what it looks like? It looks like
fried
a big pizza roll.
Maybe, but
a calzone's a
you know what a big pizza roll looks like? Calzone.
I've got shape.
You have to bleep that, by the way.
I've got shape consistency between a ravioli and a pizza roll. I have substance similarity between a pizza roll and a ravioli.
Similarity between all of them.
But a calzone, I got a totally different shape. You can't make a bite-sized version of a calzone.
Yeah, but what is the shape made of, Chris?
Hold on. We're going to get to the bottom of this. There's somebody has
what
to
is
have
a
done...
pizza roll? What is the outside of a pizza roll, the outside of a calzone, and the outside of a ravioli?
Hold on. Can I get a Wikipedia page for a pizza roll, please? Who's the guy who made pizza rolls? Shout out to our guy, Gino Palucchetti.
That's a very Italian sounding name.
That's what his name is. What do you want me to tell you? Can I get a history here? The invention of pizza rolls. I love this.
You know, this is story time with Chris.
Well, I'm on the website for a local Arizona pizza establishment. I don't think it's local. I think it's in a bunch of different places. Hungry Howie's here.
Hungry Howie's Pizza.
Pizza rolls. The product was a result of Pollucci replacing the traditional filling used in a Chinese egg roll with pizza toppings. So it's not even...
Ooh. So then the answer to this is it's the Americanized version of an egg roll.
It's true.
This is an egg roll ravioli calzone
I'm
hybrid.
Shocked. That's not the twist I was expecting.
Wow.
This.
The more you know.
Yeah, he replaced the inside filling of an egg roll with pizza toppings. Wow. The more you know, you learn something new every day.
Has pizza toppings inside of it?
Excuse me?
You know what else has pizza toppings inside of it?
A calzone. So does a ravioli. And then Sam.
No, different sauces.
Sam, I had a follow-up take.
Sure.
Chicken nuggets, greater than sign pizza rolls, greater than sign pigs in a blanket.
I think I'm buying this take.
No, pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket
incredible,
are so overrated.
So underrated.
No,
it's
so
third
overrated.
On this list.
Yeah, and that's even too high. It should be lower.
No, who doesn't love a good...
Nothing's
I would
better.
Take. I would take a pigs in a blanket over a pizza roll any day of the week. Any day of the week.
If they were all the same quality, no way. Pigs in a blanket are fine. They're replacement level food. They're fine. They look fancier than they should. It's like chicken cordon bleu. Like half the appeal is just it looks fancy.
No, that's
it looks cool to serve at parties.
No, it's a hot dog and then it's rolled in.
I know what it is, Chris. You don't have to pull up the Wikipedia page. I understand.
I mean, you don't need much more.
I didn't say it's bad. I just didn't say it was
bread,
very good.
And then you can have dipping sauces. You could dip them in mustard, which would be kind of gross. I would dip them in ketchup. That's what I would do. But you got sauces that you can use. A pizza roll, what are you dipping that in? Marinara sauce?
Yeah, why not? Why don't you dip it in more cheese?
Now that I could get behind. Now, chicken nuggets being number one on this list, I'm fully in agreement with. Chicken nuggets,
yeah, a good chicken nugget. And we're not talking about
McNuggets. A good chicken
nugget is a top-tier finger food.
It's a top-tier finger food. It's
really good. And again, you want to talk about sauce options.
You could do any.
The world is your oyster.
You could do ranch if you like ranch. You could do honey mustard. You could do barbecue.
Mix them.
You can mix sauces. I mean, yeah, the world is your oyster. Yeah. And so from a versatility perspective, chicken nuggets
is
number one.
It's very versatile food.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's why it's number one. I agree with that 100%. We have two more football takes that we're going to sneak in here for the show. It's take from Heldy. Take. You know what? I'm going to phrase it to you this way.
Okay.
Fill in the blank, Jamie. Heldy did fill in the blank. I want you to fill in the blank.
Okay.
The blank will win the NFC South by a game. The blank will win the NFC South by a game.
The Atlanta Falcons.
That's exactly what Heldy put. The Atlanta Falcons will win the NFC South by a game. I am selling this take.
Okay. Well, yeah, we know why.
No, I mean, yes, Derek Carr, New Orleans Saints, Kendre Miller, like, yeah, I mean, it's my brand, right? So I have
we
to.
But know
like,
why.
I also think I would take the Panthers over the Falcons right now.
I think all three have a legit chance to at least be in the conversation. I really like Atlanta.
So many question marks. That wide receiver room after Drake London is just not very good.
No, it's but not. They've got Kyle Pitts. They've got Mac Hollins. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I tried. Hold on.
I'm going to use
I tried.
I'm gonna use
I tried that second time.
I'm going to use my second. I deserve this. You're out of your mind.
I deserve
for just
this.
Trying to say, oh, they've got Kyle Pitts. They've also got Mac Hollins. Are you kidding me with that? That's
ridiculous.
Yeah,
no, I deserve this. They got Bijan.
They have Cordarrelle Patterson. They have Tyler Allgeier. They have Cordarrelle Patterson. I think their running game is going to be very good. And I think they're going to be able to use Cordarrelle Patterson once again in a way that's going to make him explosive and dynamic and be able to do a whole lot of things. But I still got a lot of questions. I know they spent a ton of money in, you know, David Onyemata, Calais Campbell. They infused into their defense, but I don't think it's perfect.
Oh, no, no. It's far from perfect. And, you know, you brought in Jeff Okuda as well. Like, I'm optimistic.
But it all comes down to the quarterback play. And so I ask you this question, Jamie. Going into 2023, would you rather have Bryce Young or Desmond Ridder? That, there you go. I think the coaching staff... I think the best coaching staff in the division is Carolina.
No, maybe you're right. Maybe I should pick the Panthers now, Chris. I think you're talking me into this.
Let's go.
I might take a timeout. Yeah, timeout. I'm going to reverse the tape.
You're using your second.
I'm going to pick the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. I think the coaching staff's better. I think between them and the Falcons, they have the better quarterback. I still think the Saints are going to be considered the favorites because they have the most experienced quarterback.
Yeah, they're still the favorites.
I think their roster is better overall.
Roster can be better.
But Carolina's not that far behind.
No, I think all three of those teams, to be perfectly honest with you, are in that like 7-9 win range. Like, I don't think a 10-win team comes out of the South.
I got to tell you, 7-9 win range for Derek Carr would really hurt the brand for me in 2023, because then I'd have to defend that. That's going to be tough.
I mean, we'll see how healthy Michael Thomas is. We'll see how many games Alvin Kamara plays. We'll see how that defense holds up this year.
They lost a bunch of players, right?
I think there are some more questions. Yeah, so I think there's some more questions about the Saints than anybody really wants to answer. And I'm not bought in on Dennis Allen.
I would agree with that. I'd agree with that 100%. But yeah, Carolina is a team that I think people are, and I understand why they're sleeping on them, but man, I think the coaching is going to go a long way in year one. Like, I really do. I think it's going to get the most out of that team. Okay.
Chris, you talked me into, this is the second straight show you've talked me into Carolina.
I did it yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah, you call a timeout on me yesterday. The second time you've used the timeout.
Because you were just so nonchalant. They're not. You don't consider them a playoff team. Get them out of here. I'm like, whoa. Well, wait a second. NFC.
But you know what? This is good, because it's like, that's my initial reaction, and then you stop and make me think about it, and I go, yeah, maybe I gotta give this team a little bit more credit. I've been in just Matt Rhule again. Now Carolina's in like a contender mode for a minute now.
And the NFC is not very good, you know.
And the NFC South is horrible.
Well, yeah, their division.
It's not the AFC South, but it's not great. It's the second worst division in football.
And the overall like landscape of the NFC is not very good. Speaking of the NFC, MK Ultra 77 has a take for us, and didn't even put the fancy like take branding. Just literally put the comment in there and left.
Just like, boom.
The Lions get to the NFC Championship. That's how we are closing the show. Hashtag our Lions. Jamie's going to now have to make everybody upset because he's going to say, no, they're not going to get there. And I'm going to agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to sell that, and for two reasons.
I'll take the field.
One, mathematically, it makes more sense to take the field. Two, do I think they're a top two team in the NFC? I know it's the top two teams in the conference don't always make it there, but
we had this debate yesterday on the TD.
I think they're a top two. We did, and I commented on it, and along with a lot of other. We had a really interesting conversation about team building in Mahomes, and go back and watch or listen to. More so, watch. I think if you have a chance to go over to watch TD and Daily, because then you could see the scroll of the comments, and because it was a really lively chat on Thursday's TD and Daily. But I don't think they're a top two team in the NFC. I would take San Francisco. I would take Philly. I would take those two are the easy, like they're tier one. And then I think Detroit is in that next tier with Seattle and Dallas for me. And so if you want to say Detroit, I can live with you saying Detroit's the third best team in the NFC. I think I would put them I think I'd put them fourth behind Dallas and just in front of Seattle, but I can live with you putting them at three. But even just on that, I can't predict them to go to the NFC Championship game. I think they are still a large step behind the 49ers and the Eagles in the conference. And I think they could be a step behind the Cowboys too, depending on how things work out. Still like them. Still think they're going to win the division. I think they're finally going to win a playoff game.
I agree
with
that.
The first time in like however long it's been.
A bajillion years, yeah.
But NFC Championship game, they're not going to be the one seed. So they're going to have to win two playoff games. So they're going to have to beat a wild card team. And then they're likely going to have to go into San Francisco or into Philadelphia to get to the NFC Championship game. I'm not going to predict them to go on the road to either of those two teams and win.
Now, can I agree with you, but for the sake of the argument of the show, I will play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay.
The Dallas Cowboys are not, you would put them behind Dallas, right?
I would.
Dallas is going to be a wild card team if you think Philly's where they are. So Dallas is going to have to go on the road a bunch, right?
Yeah, the thing is they're going to go on the road against the NFC South, I think. Because they're going to be the top wild card versus the...
More than likely, yes. But you do then have to go... You have to run the table on the road.
Sure.
When you're the five seed, right? I mean, you're just going to have to do that. The NFC South, we just said, is only going to win 7 to 9 games. The winner, we think. San Francisco's not a lock, okay? Well,
but they've got major
questions at quarterback.
I still think they're a lock.
And I agree with you, Jamie. I'm one of the bigger San Francisco defenders there are because I think Kyle Shanahan gets a bad rap sometimes. But there's a path where the Lions are in the mix for the two seed.
Sure, there is a path for that. And I think then at that point, you're hosting one of those teams.
And then you have to go to Philly if they get there. But then you're playing the game
But the question's only get there, right? It wasn't to win the conference. It's just get there.
And as the two seed, that would be a pretty nice situation for yourself.
Yes. But even then, I'm still not convinced I would pick them to beat San Francisco or Philly, even if they'd have to go into Detroit. Like, because that's the thing. Like, the NFC South's not going to affect Detroit at all.
No,
they're not going to play them, and neither will the five seed. The way things are going to work out, they're going to play the 6 or 7 seed, and then they're going to have to play the 1 or 2 seed.
Like, if they're the 2 seed.
Sure, then they're going to play the 7 seed, and then they're going to play
the 3 seed, which would either be
Philly or San Francisco. We believe.
Well, I don't think Philly was going to be the 3 seed. Are we living in a world where the Lions are the 2 seed, and the Philly and the Eagles are the 3 seed? You want to live in that world?
No, but I don't think we're living in the world where the Niners and the Eagles aren't the top 2 seeds. Or Dallas and if they win the division.
If the Eagles are the clear-cut 1 seed, and based on what we just saw a year ago, I think it's fair to pencil them in as the 1 seed. I think the 2 seed's wide open. I do.
Sure, but either way you're playing San Francisco in this hypothetical somewhere.
Right, but playing them at home
dramatically
increases my odds of making it to the NFC Championship game, in my opinion.
Sure, but...
You have to play a wild card team in round one. And then you host San Francisco, again, in a worst-case scenario if they also won at home. Yes. I think you might get out-coached, but...
We'll see. And it depends. And you're not going to have a quarterback deficit, regardless of who's starting for San Francisco.
You're not going to
have a worse quarterback.
No.
So we'll see, but I just don't think it's likely.
I'm selling the take. I don't think it's that far off from a reality if the Lions are what
they are. I don't think it's crazy to protect any team that we think is going to win a division to go to the conference title game. I'm just going to sell the take. But I don't think it's like
specifically in the NFC. I think in the AFC it's a little different, right? I think in the AFC, if you win a division, it's not a guarantee unless you're like the only division.
Is it crazy for any team in the AFC to get to the conference championship game that wins their division? That right now we pick to win the division. That's Kansas City. That's Cincinnati.
I think Jacksonville winning their division. I think that would.
Whom we're missing? Buffalo. I mean,
Jacksonville would be crazy because they would draw. See if they're. Let's say they're. What do you think? They're the 3 or 4 seed.
Yeah, because
they're
going to
draw one of
2.
The Jets, Dolphins, Ravens, Chargers. Like, that's the team they're going to draw.
Yeah, and then they're going to draw probably Cincy.
The 1 seed.
Well, it depends on if they're 3 or 4. If they're 3, they'll draw the 2. But
so it's Buffalo or you know, Kansas City, Cincinnati? Like, you're going to get one of those tier teams?
I don't think it's likely, but yes. I think it's less likely the Jags get there than the Lions get there.
I would agree with that.
But I also don't think it's crazy.
I don't think
it's going to happen. Yeah. But and I think it's more so because that there's just a lot of teams that are really good in the AFC.
That is another week of shows here in the books on the Prospects and Props podcast. We've got a fun week for you next week. We unearth. They are done. They are completed. They are ready to go. We are going to unearth Jamie's 2023 projections for fantasy purposes next week.
Starting on Tuesday.
But listen, it's the Friday show. We're going into the weekend. I want to get everybody excited, you know, about what to look forward to next week. So we start that on Tuesday. Multiple days of shows talking about quarterbacks and such. So it should be a lot of fun. On Monday, I believe, a news and notes edition of the show, yes, in which we're going to kind of recap everything that's happened over the last couple of days. And then we'll dive into the projections at the quarterback position, I believe. Is the first game.
Hopkins will sign with the Texans by then.
You saw that story? Yeah, I saw that story. And I was it was very interesting.
I've convinced him. Texans wide receiver core. He's excited.
Yeah, you personally are the one that...
Yep, he's a listener of the show, I'm sure.
Please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. We would greatly appreciate that. If you've done all those things, please share the show with a friend, coworker, a loved one, football fan, somebody that you think would enjoy listening
to. DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins, Prospects and Props podcast. We greatly appreciate you sharing. Word of mouth, the best way to support us here on this show. We've got the YouTube version of the show as well. You want to catch us over on the Draft Network YouTube channel. You can follow me on Twitter at @ChrisSchubert_ on Twitter, and Jamie is at @JamieEisner. Appreciate everybody making this show a part of their day and week. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll talk to y'all on Monday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.